Good morning. Welcome to Your Health. I'm Ann Goldin, and this week I have Clatsop County Veteran Affairs Officer Ken Rislow, and we're going to talk about some new things that are going on for veterans, some disturbing things that don't seem to be going on, and an upcoming event, the Stand Down, that will be happening next month. Welcome, Ken.
Good morning.
Okay, so I like to start with new stuff, so let's start with something new.
Okay, let's do the Stand Down. I'll put that out front. That's a really positive thing.
Okay.
And we've expanded it this year to be a two-part event.
Wow, even on 2 days?
On 2 days.
Okay.
It'll be the September 9 September and 10 September.
Okay.
And they'll both start from about 10 o'clock and run until about 2 to 3 o'clock.
Okay, so the 9th, that's a Friday.
That's a Friday, and that will literally be a career fair. For anyone, any veteran who is looking for work, looking to change work, looking for what is available both in the community and in Oregon, we're planning on having a number of employers who are recruiting, and at that point in time, to see if we can get the people looking for work and the people looking for workers together, and it's a good opportunity to do that in one place.
Okay, and this is going to be at Camp Rylea?
That'd be at Camp Rylea.
Okay.
And I believe we're scheduled for Warrior Hall.
Okay, the same place as we were last year.
Same place as before, yeah.
Okay, and so all day, and now will there be lunch on that day?
Yes, there should be lunch that day.
Okay, good. And so then they can come find out about work and eat lunch.
Eat lunch and go and listen to what people have to say, and go, and then come back the next day, which is on the 10th, which will be our standard Veterans One-Stop Stand Down.
Okay, and now wait, let's back up. Right. Is there going to be transportation for people who need it?
Yes, we will have.
We'll have a bus?
The DAV transport will be running out of there. And we'll be leaving from, that's a good question. If anyone requires transportation out there, be sure and get in touch with my office, which is going to be area code 503-325-2429. And if on request, we'll pick up from Astoria to Seaside.
Okay.
So, and we'll have transportation running from probably 9:30 through 3 o'clock.
Both days. Okay. So,
I'll be leaving both from our standard place, which is the Burger King in Astoria.
Okay.
And also the Astoria Post 12 American Legion. And if anyone needs to come out of Seaside, we'll be picking them up out of Post 99 American Legion.
So you would prefer if people would let you know ahead of time?
Yes, to make sure we're covering. And we're going to run a circuit, but if anyone really needs the transportation, it helps if we know ahead of time. We'll be sure and get them. I don't want anybody missed.
Okay, and then if they're in Pacific County?
Pacific County, that's a good question. If they can let us know, we'll see what we can do.
Okay, so there might be able to be transportation arranged from the peninsula.
That's right. And what we're talking about is we're having people, our volunteer corps staff of drivers who drive for the Veterans Transportation Network, step forward and be volunteer to work on those particular days to provide transportation.
That's great. Okay, so let's talk about who can come on Saturday and what kind of services there'll be.
Any veteran from any war can come.
Okay.
We expect to have a whole range of services again from representatives from the VA Medical Center. Well, they'll be doing enrollment. They'll be answering particular questions. I will be there. I'll be my cohort from Steve Weld from Tillamook County will be there, and I anticipate that Joe Pyle, my cohort from Columbia County, will be there for veteran service questions. There'll be a whole list of things, and plus we'll have surplus clothing, which is always the cherry on that cake on that Sunday. But that'll be how that'll be arranged, and we'll have it set up so they could work. They originally processed through our section and then go out to get their clothing chit and go sort through the clothing, anything they'd like, free of charge.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so there'll also be lunch on Saturday.
Lunch on Saturday. I think we're going to have a masseuse and a chiropractor and
maybe a couple of chiropractors.
Couple of chiropractors.
An acupuncture.
An acupuncturist.
And maybe a physical therapist.
I haven't heard, but I think there should be a physical therapist. We had last year a physical therapist. And when we had last year we had a yoga practitioner. We'll see how that works out this year. And then we had haircuts last year. I'm not sure where that is at this point, but that's always a possibility.
That was very popular. Every year, that's very popular.
Exactly. And then we'll have leads to what dentistry is available to people who are very short on funds.
You know, it's interesting that every year we talk about dentists, and there's such a huge need in this population for dental work, and we can't get a dentist.
Well, that's the issue.
Maybe the thing is through the dental college. Maybe if we could get, you know, somebody that's in that new phase, they're just getting out of school, or maybe they're an intern. That we could get a group of people from the dental school to come down?
At least to do triage. We're not doing serious procedure, but just to find out
what they need.
Idea what
and
they
get
need
them
and
to
where
the next step.
Get them to exactly. And that's particularly true about, not only true about dental care of teeth, but it's also true about periodontal conditions. What things can be corrected by just better mouth care.
Absolutely.
Those kinds of things.
Yeah. So we need to do that. We need to get some dentists there.
And that's a really difficult issue because to get dental care through the Veterans Administration, VA hospital care, health care, one has to be 100% service connected or on receiving pension with aid and attendance.
You mean their teeth problems have to be 100%?
No,
their
health care. Otherwise, they're not seen.
Oh, so that's why they don't get any.
That's right.
Oh, that's terrible.
Now, and that's in the case. To meet the current need, they've just they double the size, triple the size of their dental clinic, because they took the sole clinic used to be at the Portland VA Medical Center on Veterans Hall Road, and they just opened a double size facility at Vancouver, which is a major improvement to try to get people in there on time. Plus, this year they have contracting money. So if you have a condition and they do the triage, they'll send you out for care to make sure it gets done. That care is excellent, but it only applies to people at 100%.
And that means 100% disabled?
Yes.
Totally.
And they're service-connected, certified at 100% level.
And do you know how many people that is in the Oregon or in the Portland area?
That's a good question. I would think a rough guess would be about 10%, 5 to 10% of the total service-connected population.
5 to 10%. I wonder if those are the major users of the VA facilities.
For that, yes, that would be.
They would be
a healthcare facility? No, yeah. The care at VA healthcare is broken down really to provide service to two populations: those who, in fact, have received service-connected injuries or illnesses, they're guaranteed service for that condition, and also as a backup to any other condition under 50%. So, if you have 10 to 20 or 30%, they'll treat you for the condition. But also, if you meet their income criteria, they'll treat you for any other condition.
Now, and the income is below a certain level.
Income is a factor since January 2003 when the Bush administration put an income and asset cap on enrollment. Before that, there was none.
Oh, so then that means there's a whole slice of people that have no longer been eligible
for those
services.
Usually those are people with some kind of means. We're talking about, in that situation, we're talking about couples in come right now, it's approaching $40,000. For a single person, it's about $36,000 a year, and plus an asset cap of $80,000, excluding your house and car. So that's a major issue for people, because particularly right now, you have a lot of people retiring, a lot of people are out of work, have lost their positions, but they're left with their IRAs or...
Oh, even if they're not old enough to tap into their IRAs.
It still counts. They have the money saved. If it exceeds the $80,000, then they're out of it. They will not enroll them. Before, they have a tiered system where a person beyond a certain income would pay a charge, which is access fee. But below that income, the medical care was free.
Yeah.
And plus, the medication would be available to anyone for $8 a prescription. And that's right now, $9 for the higher tier level. But people are looking for that because drugs are so expensive. And particularly, mm-hmm. as I mentioned, they're out of work or they're retired.
Sure, sure. So access is still a problem.
Exactly.
All right. So will the employment be people be there on Saturday or no?
We'll have some people left over from coming over.
So but if the primary somebody can't come on, if somebody can't come, come on Friday and they need employment help, they could probably some on
Saturday. And Pat Preston will be there.
Oh, great.
And I believe Candy Solers will be there as counselor also from the Vet Center. Mm-hmm. The Vet Center will be there. And going back to the employment issue, we'll have Pat and his entourage from the employment service.
Okay. How about, is there going to be a group from Tongue Point? They're all
usually not.
No? Well, no, they've done. They did blood pressures and...
That's, well, those kinds of people.
Yeah.
But they come aboard as volunteers. Mm-hmm. But to provide direct counseling entry into Tongue Point, no.
No. I meant their health department, medical assisting come and do blood pressures and stuff like that. So what else? Let's see. Who else is going to be there?
So... I think anything to do, we'll have people from Social Security, we'll have people from the...
So helping people get on disability if they're not or apply
for Social
Security?
That's correct. No, this is basically an information and triage event. Okay. So we're looking to get the word out to people what's available to them, also talking to individual people, let them know what they should be looking for and how to go about getting it. Because the Social Security is a major bureaucracy, which works actually quite well if you know where you're going. The VA is more difficult, and I think it tends to be less user-friendly. But that's where it comes from. But I think both have to be aware of what you're dealing with.
Do you think that there are still a large number of veterans who are just sort of sitting around and have qualify for lots of services and they're not taking advantage of them?
Yeah.
And so, and really, stand downs are an effort to address that and bring them in.
That's correct.
Make them feel safe and wanted.
That's
correct.
And originally, they were to target the homeless population. Uh-huh. People coming just. With people who need of legal services, those kinds of things. I think we'll have someone there from Oregon Legal Service. But the people that were basically, because were disenfranchised because they're homeless state, what turned out to be they were often suffering from medical or psychological conditions, and was to reach out for them and make a contact with them. And it's been, at this point in time, it's been set to reach the general community, because a lot of people simply don't come in. Either they don't feel they were entitled for did their enlistment, nothing happened, they did whatever they did in some place, they came home and we're not talking about combat related things, and they just did it and came home, and particularly out of World War II or Korea, even Vietnam. Mm-hmm. Or in Vietnam, we had a situation where people became antagonistic toward the VA, so they just avoided it. Mm-hmm. World War II, there was only so much to go around, and they'd seen their comrades really wounded or have terrible things happen to them. And I think that's true in any war. You feel that you got away lucky if you're still walking and you're still talking, and you just had watched someone medevac you out in a dust off mission, and you lucky that person, and you look at yourself and you're still in peace and walking, you're in a great place, and you figure all the care should go to that person.
Right.
Another issue, we've got a lot of people coming back from condition called post-traumatic stress disorder, which in the recent years has gotten a lot of media attention. But that affects people. It's a subtle thing. It doesn't affect... it's something that affects the average general population. If you send them into extremely horrifying situations where they're at risk of loss of life, or they watch someone else die, or you put them in situations where they're exposed to total and complete death, it has a lasting effect on people.
It doesn't. It's not an event that ends. Like, you know, if you get injured, you know, you're...
When you have... These are internal injuries that from the outside, they don't leave scars. The scars are internal. And it was thought for a long time that these things went away. but they stay with the person. These memories, because of the nature of the memory and its condition, they stay with them unless they're treated, and they can seriously do major things to improve, help people adapt to what they have to deal with.
Actually, the memories never go away, but you can, with care, with appropriate care, the charge, what ruins your life with PTSD is the charge on those memories interferes with your today life.
Actually, they color your entire perception of life.
Right, and you can change that. If you can take the charge out of the memory's still there, but you don't have that reaction where you see the person dive under the table or completely flip out and get angry.
Okay.
That can stop.
See, it stops, and I think that the dramatic things people deal with, because they're stuck, they're forced to deal with those. The really subtle things that affect personal relationships with their wives, families, and children, those things don't come to the surface. They just, a person finds themselves after time isolated from the very people that care for them and the very people they care about. There's just an invisible wall they can't get through. And because that's why information is such a tremendous first step, because you understand that you're not crazy, you're not defective, you're not odd.
Right, you've been injured.
You've been injured in a particular way that doesn't show.
And there's help.
There's help that does work. Mm-hmm. We're not talking, and
right.
It's very systematic.
It's not going to be minimized anymore. Just get on with it.
Well, and I think there's been a mentality that looked on at the way the Marine Corps generally looks at things. If it doesn't bleed, it doesn't count.
Okay. Let's take a break. When we come back, we'll talk more. You're listening to Your Health. I'm Ann Goldine. I'm with the Clatsop County Veterans Affairs Officer, Ken Rislow, and we'll be right back. Listening to Your Health. I'm Ann Goldine, and I'm with Ken Rislow. He's the Clatsop County Veterans Affairs Officer, the go-to guy if you have any question about getting your benefits or working through the maze of veterans issues. Okay, so when we stopped, we were talking about
PTSD.
PTSD.
And its lasting effects on people, and particularly destructive. And this applies to anyone involved in a traumatic thing. We're talking about if we have a rape victim or a catastrophic car accident or fire, those people are affected also. And these memories, people are used to normality where those memories fade and they disappear. Everyday memories fade in time. These don't. They're brought right back as vividly as they were happening this in front of the second before by triggers, events that happened at the same time the event happened. In addition, this war has brought out a condition that we haven't really paid attention to after World War I. People came back from World War I, they were called shell shock because they were for the horrendous millions of rounds of heavy-duty artillery were fired at people. And the lucky ones were huddling in a hole, the other ones were out in the open. And the concussion from those blasts, if they didn't kill you, they caused major damage. And people suffered from what's commonly called post-concussion syndrome. And they had very subtle effects on their ability to think, their
concentrate, mood,
their cognitive efficiency, their ability to maintain a constant mood. And this is super, and overlaid on top of all of this was PTSD. And this mix, the slurry was called shell shock. Now with the sandbox wars in Afghanistan and Iraq, and the use of IEDs, very heavy-duty explosives set out in close proximity, that if you are out the edge of the shockwave, and it doesn't kill you, you're still left with the effects of the overpressure wave. It's like being put under 1,000 atmospheres for a microsecond, and that has a tremendous effect on the brain. A very subtle but damaging effect. And it produces conditions that, again, are like, if we would watch it, a person suffering a stroke. And the recovery from that is much the same.
It's slow or not.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And some of that can be recaptured, capacity mm-hmm. can be recaptured. Mm-hmm. Some of it's lost forever, and one's faced with adaption to coping with life with what they've got to work with.
Mm-hmm.
These are conditions, both PTSD and traumatic brain injury, the signature of illness, injury of this bloody war, don't go away. They're invisible. The guy looks all right. The fellow next to him is laid out, like look like he's just gone through the Thanksgiving turkey at the end of the table. But they're fine. They're sort of a little dusty, but their situation is. But over the next 2 years, 5 years really, their performance will disintegrate. We're talking about basically bright people. This is a volunteer army, and they've been selected for. So we're talking really about the cream of the crop, regardless of what class level you're talking about. Mm-hmm. So now they've been seriously impaired by this condition, and they're, for the most part, initially they were unaware of it. And I'm not sure if after the fact, if you can become aware of this is just, your world has changed.
The part of you that would evaluate that is the part that's damaged.
Exactly.
It's your brain. And so you know that you're different. You know that things don't look the same, things don't feel the same, but you can't really get your brain around what it is.
Yes. And this is, I mean, we're talking about the most basic things, the most basic kinds of pleasurable activities that one involves in, or hobbies or interests. Those are all changed because it's like much like changing, wearing someone else's glasses all of a sudden. The world looks different.
Mm-hmm.
And that's becoming aware of what's happening and getting into a program that basically teaches people how to adapt to it, minimizes and also desensitizes a person as much as possible, and then teaches people how to adapt to it.
Okay, so now you said before we started that PTSD is now considered a Purple Heart condition.
No. I said under the new that issue's been going on since the mid 80s about whether PTSD, because it's had such a lasting effect on people, should be a Purple Heart condition. But the service, both and I'll use the Marine Corps, they're stuck with it. Although the Navy has a mission, and anything to do the mission, you just don't talk about it, we just do it. That's all that counted. So with the Navy, it's the same situation in the Army or the Air Force. They have a mission philosophy. Nothing else counts except accomplishing the mission. So you're left with,
whether you can get a Purple Heart from having PTSD.
That's what it was. Okay, in the last several years, there have been tremendous pressure on the Department of Defense to authorize a Purple Heart for traumatic brain injury, which is a morphologically changing condition. The structure of your brain is damaged. They can see that on an MRI.
Right.
And your behavior's changed. They can see that on evaluation. These are very concrete things mm-hmm. they can look at. So and it's incurred in service. As I said, you're just on the periphery of the killing range of the explosion. Everybody else beyond you is dead. You've survived. But you're left there looking at you. And after a couple of weeks, your body is healed and you're untouched. You may not hear anymore the same way. You may not see anymore the same way, but you're there. You look okay. It's in the standard situation has always been, if it doesn't bleed, it doesn't count for a Purple Heart. This is the first time that has been changed to deal with these people who have catastrophic injuries. I mean, life changing and career change. I mean, mm-hmm. profoundly impacting injuries. Finally, get that have occurred in the line of service. They get are now being awarded the Purple Heart, mm-hmm. which does have a personal thing. They become recognizable.
Mm-hmm. Instead of denying it altogether, where they're actually honoring.
They become honored for their service. Mm-hmm. These are costs for the country. I want to take a moment and go back to two other things. One, we have a consumer alert. We've had in the 2007, the law to provide representation to people was modified to allow people to get private representation in the VA system. That in the upper levels of appeal, that made a big difference. They could hire an attorney to work on a consignment contingency fee, and they would work for a claim.
But you mean to get
successfully get a claim for service connection or whatever disability they're talking about. there's windage in that law that allows that's been being used in this against really people who have the least ability to deal with it, and I consider that seniors who are who are in fact eligible for a program called non-service connected pension because of their wartime service and because of their physical impairments, a special benefit called aid in attendance. Counseling for that and support for that is free from both from my office or any other veteran service office, free from the service organization, service officers in Portland, as free from the VA, can be done online, can be done by any looking up, researching and being done. And not these programs are free to apply for. And they have very particular criteria, and they have once the applications are done well, then you get a relief back. There are certain people that are doing a dog and pony show, doing a presentation in various centers in the county, that they can provide this service for $650 and either with the impression that they're going to guarantee a benefit to a person sitting in front of them of either $1,650 a month or $1,950 a month if they're a married couple. And there's no question of that. Well, there are a lot of questions with the VA when you deal with a benefit. But they're asking money out front for a free service.
That people can get for free by coming to you.
Coming to you or many other resources.
Okay. And so what do they call themselves?
They call them veterans reps. They call themselves. The particular company that we're talking to is basically operating on someone's a certification in Colorado. And they have a stringer that works locally coming out of McMinnville.
So this is kind of like the Nigerian prince thing.
Sort of.
Yeah.
It's one of those.
If your parents, if you're listening to this and you have parents who may have told you that they were signing up for some great thing, you might want to warn them that they shouldn't be paying for services that our government provides for free.
Exactly. In fact, the person's claim was already in progress.
Oh.
So they were charging money for something that was already happening.
Oh.
So that's another question. But there's no, they're just out there. And they're picking the most vulnerable people.
Right. And so if somebody's advertising that they're going to help you get their veterans benefits and they want you to come to a meeting and pay money, you probably want to say no thanks.
Exactly. Yeah. It's sort of like vertical marketing.
Yeah.
When you're going to sell a product for them. Well, they're selling you a product. That's, if you went next door, would be free.
Yeah, boy.
Okay. Last but not least, Oregon Department of Veterans Affairs had a program in place to provide on-campus services to veterans utilizing their new GI Bill benefits or any kind of GI Bill benefit.
Mm-hmm.
And they had service officers, about six or seven people they had around the state. The person that was stationed out at Portland State University used to come out here probably once a month. And they took over that. They were particularly funded for that. I received notice that program was canceled on the 28th of June, and it was officially over as of the 30th of June. So it won't be there for people. And I wanted to put out there that our office provides that service.
So that will continue.
The service will continue and is available through us.
Okay. That sounds good. Well, I think we are done for today, but thank you very much. You know, I want to acknowledge that this program started at a memorial for a veteran, and we've been doing this about quarterly ever since then, which has been about 8 years. Yeah, and I really appreciate your coming in and providing an update on what's happening with veterans. It's great to have you here, and I look forward to seeing you in the fall.